I'm reading, I'm an addict. I would like to take a moment so that I can invite my God and you can invite your God, so when everything is said and done, he can get all the credit. I'm reading, I'm an addict. And it's a real honor and a privilege to be here, and I would like to thank Hagna for inviting me here, and Tammy, you know, she kind of told what I wanted to tell y'all, right, to take up a little bit of my time here, so, but I guess I got the floor now, right, but my topic is dealing with grief, right, and you know, I came in here with pain, and you know, I've been living in pain, right? And you know, my first attempt of trying to get clean, I admitted myself to the psych ward because my father had just gotten run over and killed the prior year in 1993. He got run over by a drunk driver, and you know, the last words I remember my father telling me was that, you know, if I didn't get clean, that he was going to call my PO to take my kids. And, you know, I didn't get clean, right? And so he died. And then I remember the following year, in 1994, I had just gotten out of the psych ward trying to get clean. Had a nervous breakdown because I couldn't really understand why my father had died, you know. And, you know, my father taught me how to use, and he taught me, you know, he would make me touch him, right, when I was 3 years old. And so he taught me about sex, you know, at 3 years of age. So if you can just imagine a three-year-old child, you know, learning shit like that, you know, was sick. And so that was our secret, right? So early on, I learned, you know, how to keep secrets and stuff, and how to manipulate, and how to wear a mask, you know, and my father taught me that. So when he passed, I was so angry, right? And I was angry at God and everybody else, and you know, little did I know, the following year, I was crossing the street with my two older boys, and I told my boys to run, right? And, you know, I'm not confused about alcohol being a drug, right? And so I was drinking that day, and I told my boys to cross the street, and they both got run over, and I watched their bodies fly up 60 feet up in the air. I didn't know which one to catch first, you know? I had my 9-month-old daughter at the time. I was pushing her in the stroller. I had the back little bag of the stroller full of alcohol, you know? And I thought, you know, when I get to the hospital, you know, I'm going to wake up and I'm going to take these pills. And I let my daughter go with some strangers, you know, and I called my mother and told her I was on my way to the hospital, and I went in the ambulance, and I thought when I wake up, you know, my son's going to be okay, right? It didn't happen that way. You know, I woke up and they told me my 6-year-old had died and my 5-year-old was in a coma. And if I wanted to see his body for the last time. And so I did, you know, I went and saw his body. He didn't have no bruises, he didn't have no cuts. But I knew where he was at, you know. And I could just remember my father telling me if I didn't get my shit straight, you know. You know, I'm real grateful for the state of Texas, right? Because at that time I was trying to like kill myself, and so you know, I buried him, I did what I had to do, but I couldn't stop using, you know. And I remember his father was serving a 35-year sentence, right, and they wouldn't let him out. And so we kind of, like, tried to hold the funeral and stuff, they didn't let him out, and you know, my other son was in a coma, and I just remember, like, you know, is he gonna be a vegetable, you know, because that's what they had told me. And you know, I just remember holding my son, right? He would wail every time he would hear my voice, and it was real hard for me to go see him. So the only thing that I knew was to fucking get high, right? And so I got arrested, you know, a few months later, and my son got out of the hospital. I left him with his aunt and uncle, and they raised him, and I got locked up, and that's where I heard the message of Narcotics Anonymous. And I just remember not wanting to go to San Antonio. Like, my stomach would fucking turn, and, you know, so when I went up for parole, I was like, man, don't send me to San Antonio. And they kind of knew that what had happened. And so they asked me to pick three cities, right? So I picked Houston, Austin, and Waco. They fucking sent me to Waco, right? So I'm like, and there ain't nothing bad about that, Waco, you know? Because that's where I got my first hit of Narcotics Anonymous, right? And, you know, I had a home group. And I remember, like, saying, I got to get a mean sponsor, right? Because, shit, I'm, like, 26 years old, think I know it all. You know, you couldn't tell me shit. And I remember I got this lady, right? And she was too soft, man. So then I found this lady. And I'm not a racial person, man. But I got this beautiful black lady, right, as my sponsor. Because she had, like, a beautiful spirit. And for me, she was hardcore, right? She wouldn't take shit, you know? She still doesn't, you know? And so I stayed clean, and, you know, I just remember, right, like the cliches, don't get into a relationship the first year, you know, work on yourself, work on your steps, and don't use, right, get you a home group, be of service, and, you know, sure enough, I got into a fucking relationship, right, and, you know, I, of course, I said I wasn't, right, because I thought I wanted to be with a girl and shit, and I didn't, because I knew the game, right. And so I got married, and I saw the red flags, you know, and it didn't work out, and I relapsed, right? Because I can tell you from working the steps of Narcotics Anonymous, you know, to the best of my ability, I worked up to the 10th step, and I relapsed. You know, I didn't do a third or fourth step, you know, and I fucking almost died, right? And so, just living dirty, you know, and I just remember, like, I had just gotten custody of my son, the one that was in the coma. He was already 12 years old by this time, and he came home, and then, man, it didn't last, you know, and his aunt, you know, like, came looking for me, like, you know, she wanted my son back, and, you know, I didn't want to put up a fight, you know, because I was on paper and shit, And I knew that was the best thing for my son, right? Because I couldn't raise him, you know? And he just looked at me, you know, like, why can't I stay with you, you know? And I just told him I was sorry. And, you know, he went back with her. And I moved back to San Antonio and picked up right where I left off, you know? And I knew about fucking Narcotics Anonymous, like the book, right? I remember the fucking... looking at the book that I had, you know, I brought from Waco, and I was like, fuck, man, these fucking people, like, you know, I know I need to get to a meeting, but, you know, I just got to do one more, right? And so I knew about Narcotics Anonymous, you know, but it was the shame and the guilt that kept me out for 5 years that I almost died, right? The shame of like, the guilt of losing my son, telling y'all that I was drinking that night, and I told him to cross the street, and they ran, and it cost my son his life, you know. But because of the steps of Narcotics Anonymous, I have some peace. I have some peace today, right? And, you know, I'm going to read a little bit, you know, on the living clean. You know, the journey continues on chapter 4. It talks about death, dying, and living with grief, right? Of course, losing addicts to the disease of addiction isn't the only way we experience death and recovery. Addicts die clean, too. We lose members of our family. We lose friends. Sometimes it seems like the more connected we are, the more opportunities there are to experience loss. We love more, we care more, we share more than we ever have, and perhaps more than people who are not members of fellowship like ours. You know, and you know, I've My clean date is February the 26th of 2003, right? And for that fucking date, I'm truly grateful today, you know? You know, I've seen a lot, you know, in Narcotics Anonymous. I've seen a lot in at home, my family, you know, people dying behind this disease, you know, and, you know, I'm just so amazed of how my God works, right? Because I knew that I needed to come back to Narcotics Anonymous, but I didn't know how, right? So he locked my eyes up, and he, you know, was like, damn, man, H and I, right? So there I go, H and I signing, get, you know, jumping off my bunk to make sure I get, you know, I get in there, and so I did, right? And but I was scared, man. I was fucking scared because I knew that I relapsed, and I know that what it takes, right? Complacency, boredom, and self-will, you know? And, but I knew that this time I had to stay, you know? And so, you know, I kept coming back. Once I got out, you know, I had to go do the treatment and all that. My daughter, the state had her, and, you know, eventually I got custody of her back, you know, on her 10th birthday. And but it was the shit, it was the grief with my son, right? Because I had never grieved him, you know? And I know today that if I can see the bigger picture, I know, like, God working in my life, you know, not just working miracles in my life, like, allowing me to serve him, right, to save lives, right, from this fucking disease that's out to kill each and every one of us, right? Because at any given moment, like, anybody, any one of us could be, you know, at whether it's at the end of the phone, or, you know, somewhere, like, looking for either one more hit or a way out, right? And, you know, I know that for me, you know, there was times that I felt guilty, right? There was guilt because I fucking made it, man. I made it, you know. When I first got here, I remember going to this function and this man saying that he had recovered from Hep C, right? And he had gotten the treatment, and I couldn't do the needles and shit. I told him, I'll go fill it up with some other shit. You know, y'all can't put a needle, I can't have a needle at my house, you know? And so they told me, just wait. There's going to be a treatment in 8 years or something, you know, just. So 8 years was a long damn time, you know? But you know, I kept coming back, and I stayed, and, you know, in 2017, I got the treatment, you know, and in March of 2018, you know, they told me that I was Hep C free, right? And, but I remember, like, taking those fucking pills, right? And, see, I can't even count, but I'm gonna say 5 or 6 baby daddies, right? And, you know, okay, let me see if I could get this right. 4 of them are dead, 1 serving a life prison, you know, in a federal facility for, you know, racketeering, extortion, and you know, on and on, right, drugs and shit. And the other one's at home taking care of our 17-month-old baby, you know. And so, but when I would take those pills, like, I would feel guilty, right, because I was like, why, God, like, why? Why me? Like, why couldn't they fucking survive? Why couldn't there be a fucking cure for them, you know? The hardest thing that I had to do, twice, clean. My daughter was 14 years old. She was running away, trying to commit suicide because she couldn't find her dad, and we found him, and he made amends, and he got sent to prison, and I got the phone call that he died. I said, man, are you sure? Because this dude would always say he's going to fake his death, you know? Like, I didn't believe, you know? I'm getting a call from the child support, and I said, damn, they found him, right? Well, shit, motherfucker was dead, you know? So I was like, okay, so I had to tell my daughter, right? And then she was in a facility and trying to get herself help. And, you know, I had to tell her that her father died, you know? And 4.5 years ago, my 13-year-old son, that's never, you know, seen me high, right? his father, you know, died behind this disease, you know, and it was the hardest thing that I had to tell my, he was 8 years old at the time. And I did not fucking get high. I didn't pick up, you know. I would come to the meetings, I would share. And it was real hard because, see, grief don't only have to happen through death, right? Grief can also happen through relationships. When, you know, you're in relationships and somebody has to part for whatever reason. But during that time, I had a sponsor for 11 years. And when I told her that I was ready to move on, she didn't take it well. You know, and I grieved, and I missed her. I missed my, you know, clean date anniversary, the fucking you know, the yearly thing that we would do, and I missed that, you know, and I was grieving her. And it was hard because I didn't understand, you know. But I knew that it was time. I knew that it was time. And I had the same home group for 11 years, and I moved on because that was her home group, you know. But with that said, you know, I got through that fucking clean, you know. Like, I got through that clean, you know. And, you know, I know, like, what I've been taught is, like, shit, ain't nobody gonna run me out of this room, you know. I earned that seat, you know. And because my disease tried to fuck with me, right? And, you know, I know that today, right, you know, I had, you know, on the step working guide, in step one, it says, there's a question, right? Is there something that I think I can get through clean, some event that might happen that will be so painful that I'll have to use to survive that hurt? And that hurt is my mother and my son's father, you know, my baby's dad. But, you know, as I work the steps of Narcotics Anonymous, right, there ain't fucking nothing in this goddamn world. I don't care what it is, whether it's death or, you know, loss of a job, nothing that's going to make me go back out, you know. I'm here to stay, and, you know, I love Narcotics Anonymous, man. Narcotics Anonymous saved my life, you know. And, you know, I love doing H&I, right? I recently got approved to go to Bexar County Jail, right? And when I'm walking in the fucking hall, like, I remember being high. I could find my way. But now that I'm clean, I'm like, where in the fuck am I, you know? Like... You know, and then they have that red tape, right? And, you know, you couldn't cross that red tape. You had to be against the wall, one wall, you know, hands behind your back. And I'm going walking like this, you know, because it's like I just have so much freedom today. Like, now tell me something, right? Now fucking tell me something, you know? I don't have to walk behind my hands behind my back, you know? And recently I went to the orientation for TDCJ, and I'm just like, at all with that, because this fucking addict, I called in December and I told that lady, ma'am, you know, I forgot some numbers on my TDC number, and I don't know if you already called me or emailed me. She goes, ma'am, we got your number, you know. And so I was like, okay, so I guess they know me, right? So she goes, but I said, I don't think my email's right. So they had a mixed up on my email. So she said, it was right before Christmas, you know, you got approved. And I was like, damn, what a Christmas present, right? And I know, like somebody was sharing earlier, how God has a sense of humor, right? Yeah. And man, I just love Narcotics Anonymous. I'm glad that y'all are here to have this party. You know, thank you, Cammie, for putting this together, man. I love y'all. Thank you for my recovery.